From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. With midterm elections a few weeks away, the IRS is reinforcing a staunch warning to churches. Preaching politics from the altar could put your tax-exempt status in jeopardy. One liberal church in Pasadena, California, finds itself smack dab in the center of the debate. The IRS is looking into a sermon delivered at All Saints Episcopal Church a few days before the 2004 election. The speech condemned many of the Bush administration's policies on war and on poverty. Reverend Edward Bacon is rector of the 3,500-member church. He recently addressed his congregation on the issue.
This church can neither be silent nor indifferent when there are public policies causing detriment to the least of these. This entire case has been an intrusion, in fact, an attack upon this church's First Amendment rights to the exercise of freedom of religion and freedom of speech.
All Saints Episcopal Church says it will not comply with the IRS investigation. Joining us now on the phone is Bishop Jane Holmes Dixon, a senior advisor at the Interfaith Alliance and an Episcopal bishop based in Washington, D.C. Also on the line, Ron Walters, professor of political science at the University of Maryland and a regular contributor to News and Notes. His latest book is called Freedom is Not Enough. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Hi. So, Ron, do you feel All Saints is being targeted unfairly, or is this kind of IRS investigation a common practice for both liberal and conservative churches?
Well, in the 2004 election cycle, it was the first time that in any modern era we saw the IRS beginning to use this tool of sending out letters to churches. The first round of some of those churches were black churches, liberal churches, and churches that were critical of the administration. Now what we see in the intervening 2 years that it has began to send out some letters to some of the more conservative churches. But it still, as far as I'm concerned, has promoted a confusion as to exactly what constitutes political activity. The IRS has released a circular 2004-6 to try to clarify that. But the activity of the IRS in this case, for example, the one that you cite, where Reverend George Regas talks about public policy in moral terms, seems to me to be quite consistent with the Constitution. So that there seems to be, in the administration, at least in the IRS, some confusion over what constitutes the political.
We had just listened to a clip from the pastor, Edwin Bacon, but Regas is the former rector, the person who you mentioned who gave the controversial speech, and he says the Episcopal faith, and I'm summarizing here, quote, calls us to speak to the issues of war and poverty, bigotry, torture, and all forms of terrorism, always stopping short of supporting or opposing political parties or candidates for public office. Now, that does sound within the limits of the Constitution. And Bishop Dixon, I realize that you are both Episcopal and with the Interfaith Faith Alliance.
Right.
How do you respond to this specific incident?
Well, All Saints Pasadena has had a long history of being a very prophetic church in the Episcopal tradition, beginning back years and years ago. Have spoken out on many, many issues, the internment of Japanese folk during the Second War. I mean, so their history of being a voice of prophecy, calling the nation to look at the ills, the evils that we perpetrate. So George Regas has been known. George Regas was rector there at All Saints before Edwin Bacon came, and is known for that. I read the sermon that he preached in 2004. He was very clear that he thought that there were things that were going terribly wrong in this country. But as the professor says, the IRS rules are not terribly clear. I didn't see that he crossed the line. He was probably very close to it.
And so let me actually move on back to you, Professor. There was a quote that the Interfaith Alliance, or a letter that the Interfaith Alliance sent out to the Republican and Democratic parties, and it said, refrain from speaking from the pulpit, bima, or lectern, refrain from using sanctuaries or houses of worship as backdrops for campaign ads. Now, that point could have referred to Harold Ford, running for Senate, currently in Congress. He set a campaign ad in a church. Ron, do you feel like that is a problem?
Not really. Again, we're talking about some confusion here. I don't think that that's necessarily a problem. And I think there's an attempt here really to rein in the voting base of the Democratic Party. When you look at the new regulations the IRS has tried to send out to clarify this, one of the items there has to do with the timing of a communication that coincides with an electoral campaign. Well, what does the timing have to do with content and intent? I would expect that this is going to be, these rules are going to be the subject of a lot of litigation until it's probably never will be clarified. But you've got to go back to the fact that several years ago, the Evangelical Church was putting out all these voter guides, millions of voter guides. Very recently, the Catholics have said that they're going to put out 1.1 million voter guides. Now, that activity apparently doesn't fall under the scrutiny of the IRS because it is on one side of the political equation. But some of these other churches do. So one has to look at the balance here to see whether or not the IRS is playing fairly.
And, Bishop, from your standpoint, what is the Interfaith Alliance doing to really try to clarify for both liberals and conservatives or people who may not even want to classify themselves who are members of faith community what can and can't be done? How important is it to you? Because I noticed that, you know, in the Pasadena case, you have people coming out from the Islamic community and from the Jewish community saying this doesn't appear to be fair. So what is the Interfaith Alliance really trying to do?
What we did in the 2004 election, we're doing in this election cycle, and we'll be doing again in 2008, putting out voter guides for houses of worship and another one for candidates, public persons running for public office. And these help houses of worship, whether they be Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Sikh, any house of worship, what they can do that is permissible within the First Amendment to try to help them clarify that so that they understand that. We also do those guides for the candidates themselves as to what they can do. It's really very important to us to maintain the separation of religion and government. And our primary focus is on religious liberty so that people who are religious or not religious certainly go to the polls and vote. We support voter registration. But these guides have been very, very helpful. They are available at the Interfaith Alliance. Go to our website and you can download them there.
You know, at this point in time, the Episcopal Church in Pasadena is basically saying that it won't comply with a certain IRS citation, that on October the 11th, one of their officials was scheduled to appear. They are not going to do it. Ron, do you feel as if they are bringing this to a head deliberately to try to challenge the overall application of the law, or could that tactic backfire?
I think that they are trying to do precisely what the NAACP recently did.
Correct.
In backing down the IRS. The IRS launched a very similar complaint saying that at its national convention that it used political words and so forth and so on. It really didn't define its challenge to that organization. The NAACP stood fast on First Amendment grounds and saying that it was not political because it didn't support a candidate or a party. And it eventually won. And I think that the churches are trying to do the same thing.
And let me ask you, Bishop Dixon, where do you see the most confusion over separation of church and state? Is it really on behalf of the pastors? Is it on behalf of the political parties? Is it on behalf of people?
Oh, I think it's all three. I think, as the professor has said, the IRS has not made clear what they see as the separation of religion and government. Their guidelines are fuzzy, and I think that people are confused, and one of the things that we at the Interfaith Alliance are trying to do is with these voter guides is to help people see some of these differences. It's been a part of our life in this country, thank heavens, since the Bill of Rights, and we're grateful for that. But it has really come into the fore in the last few years in ways that it has not before. And so it's something that we're trying at the Interfaith Alliance to help educate people.
Ron, recently some figures have come out that show that black churches, whether conservative or not, have gotten only a tiny sliver of the faith-based initiative pie that the Bush administration has been giving out. Do you think that practical matters and religious support of specific ideals cross paths and do things like the, you know, the application of money to a problem help shape what happens in the pulpit? I'm trying to be delicate here, but I mean, how much do financial and political and religious concerns mix?
Well, there was a widespread assumption that in the 2004 election cycle, that in states like Pennsylvania and Ohio, that one of the reasons why the black vote went up in those states for President Bush was that Karl Rove was able to very effectively use the more conservative black churches that were connected to the faith-based funding cycle. And if they were not able to use the churches because in politics, because that's illegal, then they certainly were able to use some of the ministers. And here you have a little gray area. It's illegal for the churches to participate, but it is okay for the pastors. It is okay for associations associated with the church. They're exempt from IRS scrutiny. So you have this the very interesting thing where the church itself cannot participate, but the assets related to the church are able to do it.
And I'm going to have to stop there, unfortunately, but Ron Walters, professor of political science at the University of Maryland, joins us regularly on Political Corner. We also had Bishop Jane Holmes Dixon, senior advisor at the Interfaith Alliance in Washington, D.C. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
With you.